Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Let's Cover It, brought to you by The Covering Church.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us for another podcast as we come to you talking about various things within Scripture and trying to get you some answers, or at least nothing else, helping you create a conversation with those that are around you. And it may stretch you a little bit, but that's okay. My name is Dwayne Lee. I'm sitting here with Chris Dunford, and we are your host for this particular episode. And we are grateful that we are able to come back to where you are, whether it's your home, whether it's your office, whether it's your car, wherever it may be. But the fact that we are able to come together and spend a few minutes together. This particular series is a very touchy one, I would say, because we've never touched anything else. It's not like we've had touchy
subjects
right. before. That's true. But the kicker is this one, let me just say, we've had people pointing their fingers at God.
Yes.
We've had people say, well, why would God, or why did God, or how can God? And you fill in the blanks. I'll give you a couple. And how could God let sin reign in the world? Or why did God create sin? Or why does God allow abortion? Why does God kill children? Why? You know, I can just keep going on.
That's correct.
Right?
I would say it's the modern assault on the Bible.
Yeah, I was going to say philosophy, but correct. Assault is a better word.
Yeah, this is the modern assault on the Scriptures today.
It is.
To question the righteousness of God.
Right.
At the root of it.
At the root of it. And, you know, and you've heard me say this before, if you can't get past Genesis 1:1, that in the beginning God, and understand who he is, his righteousness, his purity, his justice, his mercy, his grace, and his love, then you are not going to get past anything else.
Yes.
And so what has happened is that people have tried to humanize God, and basically say that I am judging God.
Yes, that's the root of what these type of questions become.
Exactly. And so what we want to do is we want to try to answer those. You may or may not like it. But at the end of the day, we've said from the very beginning, we're going to base everything that we give you on these podcasts from Scripture. Outside of that, doesn't make a difference what my opinion is. That'd make a difference what Chris's opinion is. As long as it's based upon Scripture, then we are safe, because that, again, is the final authority, nothing else. So, with that being said, Chris, can you help me understand? For that person who would say, well, wait a minute, God killed a multitude of people in the book of Genesis, millions of people, and only left eight of them.
Yes.
Okay? Let me go on another book later. I'll get out of Genesis. I'll go to Exodus.
Mm-hmm.
Why did God kill all of the children of Israel? Or not Israel, but Egypt.
The firstborn of Egypt.
The firstborn of Egypt. Mm-hmm. Why would God do that? Okay? You want me to get out of that book, move to another one?
No, we don't have to go very far in Exodus to see him bringing judgment on Israel and then have to look on a golden serpent to survive.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
So how? Why? And the skewed perspective,
yes,
of the individual who would have the audacity to say such a thing.
Correct.
How do we answer that?
I think, first of all, we have to start with understanding the purpose.
Okay.
So for thousands of years, people had a good understanding of the righteousness of God. And when we talk about the righteousness of God, it is the antithesis of what man is.
Mm-hmm.
Because righteousness means that God has no sin. In the biblical aspect, God never makes a mistake. God never does anything wrong.
Right.
And so the moment that we question, this is going to sound lame, but we're going to dig into these.
Right.
So I'm not just going to throw this out and just leave it hanging.
Well, no.
So the moment that we say to ourselves that, remember when God killed all the babies in the flood?
Mm-hmm.
You know, remember when God killed the firstborn, all the little children in Egypt?
Mm-hmm.
We jump past an entire litany of principles that are biblical principles.
Exactly.
We've completely jumped off of the cliff.
We have.
And some of those principles are, number one, we assume that what God did wasn't righteous.
Right.
Because we have set a righteous standard up ourselves. We've erected a graven image, a false idol of righteousness. This is our standard. God violated it, therefore he cannot be God. That's the old philosophical argument for hundreds of years.
It has been, yeah.
And so it's nothing new. It's just reframed.
Right.
I think the second principle that we jump off the cliff is assuming that people are relatively good.
Oh, and we're not?
No, the Bible is very clear that every single one of us walk in sin.
Why?
Because of the fall of Adam, because of the book of Genesis.
That is correct.
We go back to the book of Genesis, we see Adam and Eve, they fell. And when they fell, not just humankind, but the entire universe failed. The entire universe fell and began to decay and began to suffer. Paul talks about that the whole earth groans.
That's right.
Until the day of redemption.
Right.
Under the weight of the fall of Adam, under the weight of his sin. Romans 5:12. For by one man sin entered into the world, and so death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. Then in the aorist, all have sinned means that we all sinned in Adam as the federal or the seminal head of the human race, depending on your theology.
Right.
Because he fell, he dragged us all with him.
Right.
And so we have to understand that any righteousness that we erect that counters biblical
falls way short.
It falls short.
Yeah.
So the very moment that you say, I'm going to put God on the witness stand, I'm going to put him on trial, you go ahead and do that. You're going to fail, number one.
Right.
Ultimately, you'll stand in eternity and fail. But number two, the problem is you've now set your righteous standard above that which is truly righteous, which is God.
Exactly. Exactly.
So that's the first problem.
Okay. Which tells me there are more.
Yes, there is.
Okay.
The second problem is that we forget that there's a question as to why evil exists.
Right.
Now, I don't know all of the answers, but I think Jacques Derrida probably had the Molinistic view that evil exists for the ultimate purpose of God bringing about redemption of the world. And Molina had this view of this ultimate God in his foreknowledge could have created any world that he wanted. So, for example, could God have created a world without sin?
Could have.
Correct. And in that world, we would not worship God out of choice. We would worship God out of force.
Right.
We would become automatons who just worship God because we have, without the ability to do good,
mm-hmm.
we cannot make a choice to do good without having a choice to do evil. The two can't have to exist. One can't exist exclusively without the other.
Correct.
And so God had to, according to Molina, God had to create the world ultimately to bring about redemption, knowing that man was going to fall when he created him. Now you could say, why would God create man who was going to fall? Now, truthfully, I don't know the answer to that question. I know that God did.
He did because he gave man a choice.
That's correct. Adam and Eve were given the ability to worship or the ability to reject.
Right.
That was their choice. They could not worship God, could not bow down and worship him without having the capacity to not worship him.
Right.
To rebel against him. So God created them in their innocence with that ability make the choice.
Mm-hmm.
And in that ability to make the choice, they made the wrong choice.
They did.
And so yet in that, God has an ultimate plan to redeem back the world, to redeem back creation, to make things right, to bring it back perfect through the second Adam, which is Jesus Christ.
Right.
And in doing that, it's God's plan. Within that, he has allowed sin, he has allowed death, he's allowed destruction, he's allowed these things to take place because in his grand scheme of the world, those things have to exist in order to allow righteousness to be grasped by human beings, to allow us to embrace God willingly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think there's a third problem.
Okay.
In all of these things, when it deals with death, we look at death as final.
Correct.
Yes.
As humans, yeah.
We do.
For the most part, and when someone dies.
When someone dies, we will say they lived to be a ripe old age or mm-hmm. they died too young.
Right.
Yes?
Yes.
Now, I think I've said this in a podcast in the past, but I lost a wife to cancer in 2014. Mm-hmm. She died at 51 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's, in our world, relatively a young age.
Yeah. Humanly speaking. Yeah.
So a lot of people would say she died before her time.
Right.
But that's because we see death as final.
Right.
God never sees death as final.
No.
We look at life linearly. God lives outside of time. Mm-hmm. God is timeless.
Right.
Now, I wish I had a whiteboard or something. But imagine in most people's minds, eternity is like this. It starts the moment that I die, I go to heaven. There's a dot.
Mm-hmm.
And then from then on, I live in this time frame that's always going forward and it never ends. That's not true.
Yeah.
Eternity is the dot without the line.
Without the line.
There is no time. That's right.
Right.
And so because there is no time, we look at it from an earthly perspective. We see this framework of death and we say, well, they died as a little baby. Well, if they died as a little baby or they died at 90 years old, in the grand scheme of eternity, how long is that?
Blink.
That's correct. And death is still death.
It is.
Whether I died from cancer at 51 or a baby died who was newborn, they still died as a result of the fall of Adam. Whether they die 90 years from now, 50 years from now, 24 hours from now.
Right.
None of that, in the realm of eternity, that distance is nothing in relation to God.
Yeah. It's irrelevant.
Yes.
Yeah. So, all right. So with those three things, that we grapple with, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because like you said, we look at it, everything from a humanistic standpoint.
Yes.
And we don't necessarily understand scripture, or a lot of times that people understand enough scripture to get in trouble.
Yes.
You know, or they misinterpret it.
Correct.
And so, how do we help them get to understand, you mentioned God's grand scheme.
Yes.
And so how does that come about, and how do I find myself getting there?
So I let me start off by saying, if you think that I have all of God's plan worked out.
Well, no, I'm not. No, I'm not saying
does.
That.
But so let's start off with this concept. Where does death come from?
It comes from sin.
It comes from the fall of Adam. Romans 5:12 says that all of us are going to die.
Right.
Now, whether I'm murdered, hit by a car. By the way, I got hit by a car once.
Did you?
I was out running, and a guy in a Jeep turned a corner and hit me. And I rolled over the hood, over the windshield, over the roof, came off the back and did the hero land and stood up and wasn't even hurt.
Are you kidding me?
No, but I mean, I could have been killed.
You could have been. That's right.
So if I'd have been killed and I was in my late 30s, early 40s when that happened,
okay,
you would have said I lost one of my best friends,
right,
and he died too young.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
So I would have died in my 40s,
mm-hmm,
when potentially I could have lived into my 80s or 90s. Yes?
Yeah.
But what does another 50 years have to do with eternity?
Not a thing.
And that's the point. God's time frame and God's perspective is not human perspective. My ways are not your ways, says God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God's ways are not our ways.
Right.
He lives in a universe, in a realm completely different from the one that we live in. And his perspective and view is entirely different than ours.
Right.
So, question. Let's take, for example, God killing the firstborn children of Egypt.
Okay.
I've heard people criticize that.
Right.
So the very first question is, what happened to all those little children that he killed?
a good question.
If I read my Bible and I now, let me throw a little theology in here. A lot of my Calvinist friends won't agree with this. Some of my Arminian friends won't agree with this.
Right.
But I think in Romans 7, Paul teaches us that I don't personally think man is born spiritually dead.
Okay.
I think that man becomes spiritually dead the moment that he enacts upon his sin nature.
Okay.
And he does it willfully with understanding. Romans 7, Paul said, I was alive without the law, but when the knowledge of the law came in, I died.
Right.
And so I think that we have two forms of death in the Bible. Physical, which I think is Romans 5:12,
right,
and spiritual, which is an eternity in hell separated from God.
Right.
So I think that there are two different punishments for two different actions.
Okay.
I think physical death is the punishment for Adam's imputed sin.
Mm-hmm.
For the sin that's imputed onto me because of Adam's fall, I face physical death.
Correct.
But I think that I face spiritual death when I enact upon my sin nature. That becomes my action.
Mm-hmm.
So I personally think that that answers the question of what happens to little children when they die.
Mm-hmm.
David said, he cannot come to be with me when his son died with Bathsheba, but I shall go to be with him.
Right.
So I think some of our Calvinist friends have talked about efficacious grace. Well, that's a real nice way of getting around their Calvinist view that we are born spiritually dead. If we're born spiritually dead, a baby can't go to heaven unless it makes a profession of faith in Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
How can they do that?
Correct.
Right.
But I think that if they are born spiritually alive and then they die the moment they enact upon their sin nature, then willfully do it,
mm-hmm,
and knowingly do it, I think at that point they're spiritually dead and they face a judgment in hell. But until such time, I don't think that's the case. And so for me, number one, the first question is, when he wiped out all those babies, it sounds a little trite, but those babies went to heaven.
Right.
And so it's not like they're suffering or that they had an end to their life. Their life went from physical to spiritual.
It was. But, not but really. So wasn't there a way of escape for those who would have put the blood over the doorpost?
That is correct. Every Egyptian, in the Bible, in fact, some of the Egyptians, it said that the Egyptians could follow Israel.
Right.
God gave them that opportunity. In fact, he gave Pharaoh 9 opportunities.
That's true, he did.
To turn away.
Mm-hmm.
Pharaoh was the leader of a nation.
Right.
God always holds a nation accountable for its leadership. This leader, over and over and over again, was given the opportunity. After, by the way, he had killed the babies of Israel.
Right.
The Jewish babies he had wiped out. Moses comes on the scene only because his mother saved his life by putting him in a little boat and sending him down the Nile River.
Right.
Had she not done that, he would have died too.
He would have died as well.
And so, actually, Moses is the only kid of his generation. He grew up as a Jew. There were no other kids of his age.
Right.
Because they were all dead. They'd been wiped out by Pharaoh.
Right.
And so.
So let's talk about that. Pharaoh killing all of the Israeli children.
Yes.
You know, and nobody talks about that. Nobody points a finger at that.
Correct. They pointed God killing the firstborn of Egypt, but nobody holds Egypt accountable for what they did before that ever happened.
That's right. Which is wrong.
Yes.
That's all I'm going to say is wrong.
It is wrong because
it is wrong.
So here's how it works. This philosophy, God is all love. If God is all love, then why does evil exist? Okay. So if evil exists, God can't be love. And if God isn't love, then there is no God.
Right.
That's kind of this philosophy.
Sure.
So in other words, there can't be God if God came down and did this, what they consider as murder.
Right.
These firstborn.
Right.
Well, first of all, that Egyptian nation was evil.
It was.
They had enslaved Israel.
Mm-hmm.
They had murdered an entire generation of Jews before this ever happened.
Right.
And Pharaoh had enslaved these people and refused to let them go when God had given him express command through Moses, eight times previous.
Right.
And he had brought about eight plagues previous to get them to leave.
To leave.
And then he gives them an out by putting the blood on the doorpost and the lintel. The death angel will pass by your house.
That's right.
And they didn't do it. No. So,
yes, there was mourning. There was weeping because moms and dads had lost their children, but yet God made a way of escape.
He did. He gave them opportunity to escape the ultimate judgment.
Right.
Now realize earthly judgment is not final judgment ever in the Bible.
That's true.
And so, for example, many Christians have died, have been martyred for Christ.
Yes, right.
But that wasn't judgment. Paul says that the sufferings of this life are nothing to be compared to the glory that is to come.
That's right.
So we have a life down here. I mean, I've had, five heart ablations. I'm on a heart medication now to control my heart rate, and I'm an athlete. I run and I work out, and I'm struggling, right?
Sure.
And I go to the Lord and say, Lord, what are you going to do? Why are you letting me live like this?
Right.
And then I get to thinking, I've probably got 30 years left at the most. Mm-hmm. I think I can pull off 30 years for eternity, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's even if I have 20 years left, I think I can get down this road like this for the next 20 years.
Sure.
Because I have what to look forward to.
Sure.
And so to for us to judge God, mm-hmm. because we lost someone, mm-hmm. without understanding that somewhere in that plan, God has something greater.
Yeah.
Yes?
Well, because I've had people who walk into the organization that I currently work with, and I'll ask them how they're doing. They go, well, I'm above ground.
I don't even know if that's the best thing.
Well yeah, because...
not for me, it's not.
Yeah, because I would say to them, what does that mean?
Right. What do you mean
because,
by that?
Because if this is all you're looking forward to...
This ain't much.
Which ain't much. There's so much more beyond it. And I would typically say, well, that depends on where you're going.
Well, that's exactly right.
And they would look at me like I got three heads because it doesn't make sense to them.
I think life is very empty without seeing God as he is righteously.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, honestly, God has blessed my wife and I.
Yeah.
We live in a really nice home. Mm-hmm. I have three cars in the driveway. We have money in the bank. I've got nice things.
Sure.
And the truth of the matter is, I don't own them.
No.
Because the moment that I die, somebody else gets all the stuff, right?
That's right.
So I can spend my entire life amassing stuff. And we have started that old age thing of paring down. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, going through closets, getting rid of. Yeah. I got a huge garage I got to clean out.
Yeah.
I'm coming to that place in my life where I've decided I'm done with opening closets and stuff falling out. I don't want my kids to have to come in here and do all this.
Yeah.
We're going to clean this out, clean it up, and get rid of what we don't need.
Well, yeah.
Because I know that in the end, it's all nice stuff, but when I die...
You still die.
I still die, and nobody's going to load it up in a Brinks truck and go behind me and pull up, and I'm going to have something to do with it. I'm not.
No.
And so for me to stand in judgment of God and say, did you see what God did? You have just put yourself on the outside of a relationship with him.
That is correct.
And in that process, what do you have to look forward to without it?
Nothing.
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 But an empty shell.
Right.
An empty shell of a life. I got mine and now I die.
That's it.
And I've seen the bumper sticker. He who dies with the most toys wins.
No, he still dies.
He dies.
He dies.
And his toys don't go anywhere.
No,
they don't. They go to somebody else.
They do. They go to somebody else. But it's those individuals, like you said before, who think this is it. Period. Mm-hmm. There isn't anything beyond the grave. And I'm thinking to myself, if that's how little that you think of life,
yes,
or maybe even more importantly, how little you think of God, or whatever you think may have created you because you didn't do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
The bottom line is, if this is it, then why do we have order? Why do we have rules?
Right.
Good grief. I'd do whatever I want when I want it.
But the problem is it would show the evilness of man. Because the moment you go to do what you want, it's complete license to go to the worst of man.
Absolutely.
It's never to the best.
Which
I'm living without God, but I'm going to do everything I can do to help the poor and to help and build hospitals. And that's not usually the way it goes.
No, it's not.
it's not.
Because we're not only sinful people, we are selfish people.
That's correct.
And I'm going to get mine and I'm going to get yours. That's what happens the majority of the time. So
I think to start this discussion, we have to start with an understanding of who God is.
Mm-hmm.
Because the very moment that we, and again, it's one of those questions, we should never question God. Well, that's easy to throw out there, but the truth of the matter is, if we don't understand the righteousness of God, if we don't understand God is not only a God of love, but a God of wrath,
mm-hmm.
if we miss that,
mm-hmm.
if we don't understand that God's not responsible for sin, man is,
right.
and God works within that realm because he wants us to worship him mm-hmm. by choice. And because we have choice to worship, we have choice not to worship.
Right.
And because we're fallen and flawed, that not worshiping him is going to lead to rape and murder and pillage and selfishness and self-righteousness, and all of those things will come out of that.
That's right.
And so we have to ask this question, how do we see God? As we start this discussion in the next few podcasts, how do we see God?
Mm-hmm.
See, the moment that we decide that I'm not going to go to church, that's why I don't go to church, because I lost a child or I lost a wife,
mm-hmm.
then you have set yourself up as God.
That is correct.
You have become your own idol.
You have.
Because now your righteousness exceeds his righteousness.
You
now you've decided I have the right to question his righteousness, and he doesn't measure up.
That's right. So let's leave it there, all right? And let's pick it up next time. So with that being said, I hope it's helped you a little bit, maybe even challenged you a little bit, and maybe even have some questions. And that's okay. You can send the questions to us. We'd be glad to answer them for you. So until next time, may God bless you, enrich you, and give you absolutely everything you need. Until then, God bless.
Thanks again for joining us. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to the Let's Cover It podcast, brought to you by The Covering Church.